Virgin for life. She's dying, Louis. KBOO Community Radio is a proud sponsor of the We Real Cool film series at the Clinton Street Theater. The film this month is Lacho Drum, showing Thursday, January 21st at 7 p.m. Released in 1993, Lacho Drum is a French documentary about the Romani people's journey from Northwest India to Spain, consisting primarily of music. Again, that's Lacho Drum, Thursday, January 21st, 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater. 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information is available at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events. This is KBOO Portland. It's 9 a.m. Coming up on Democracy in Motion, host Lisa Loving speaks with Troutdale City Councilor Larry Morgan about the city's new coordinated campaign against sexual trafficking and other issues the city is facing. At 10, it's Air Cascadia, followed at 10:15 with By Flashpoints. And at 11 on The Digital Divide, host Rabia Yeaman interviews Dr. William A. Richards about his clinical trials with psilocybin at Johns Hopkins University and his book Sacred Knowledge, Psychedelics and Religious Experiences. Thank you for listening to KBOO. And thanks, KBOO members, for your continuing support. If you have not yet become a member of the KBOO Foundation, you may correct that oversight at kboo.fm. Just click where it says Donate Today.
It's 9:01, and you're listening to KBOO Portland. I'm Lisa Loving. This is Democracy in Motion. And today, the city of Troutdale is about to launch a significant effort against human trafficking. What are they planning? And how can you participate? Okay? We're joined by Troutdale Mayor Doug Doust and City Commissioner Larry Morgan. Thanks, you guys, for being with us.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Glad to be here.
Hey, KBOO Portland, our main offices are here in Portland, and we tend to be Portland-focused, but so many things, it's like really more and more people, as we talk about all the time, are moving out of Portland, and they're moving to the eastern part of Multnomah County, East County, and that's where you are. So I wanted to start out with Doug, and say, Doug, talk a little bit about your background. You've got a really interesting background, and what made you decide to run for mayor? How long have you been mayor?
I've been mayor for the last 3 years, and I've got one more year in my term. It's a four-year term as mayor. Prior to that, I was on the city council for 16 years, so I've been in politics, local politics in Troutdale for 20-some years. Even before that, I was involved with the city. So it's been a long and good journey for me to be involved in local politics.
All right. I want to ask Larry the same question. Larry, and, you know, full disclosure, Larry Morgan's father is a dear friend of mine, Larry Collins, who we've had on these airwaves quite a few times talking about his community work with People of Purpose and Associates in Inner Northeast Portland. So, Larry, what made you decide to run for office, and what is your vision as a city councilor in Troutdale?
Yeah, well, when I had gotten back from Chicago for school, I was at Wheaton College and decided to get more engaged. So I applied for a city committee. Citizens committee, and thought that I wanted to do a little bit more. And in light of some new developments, of course, at that time it was a December 2013 article that was about human trafficking in Troutdale and how there was some big concerns going on. I wanted to step up and do something more, and decided to announce in 2013 December. And ever since then, it's kind of been a trajectory towards talking about issues, trying to solve problems, and trying to be a part of the solution.
Mm. This show is called Democracy in Motion because part of what we're doing is we're looking at the intersection of electoral politics specifically with our community issues. So many people feel frustrated with the electoral system, the political system, that they just they don't even want to vote. They don't even want to register to vote. So this show is kind of about drawing the line, you know, underneath why voting matters. And so that's why I wanted to ask you both now. Can you talk a little bit about this big, if I understand correctly, a significant initiative that you guys are going to be putting together in Troutdale around these issues of human trafficking? And define that term for us. When we're talking about human trafficking, what do you see happening there in Troutdale?
Well, let me tell you a little bit about why it's important to vote first before I get into that. My wife ran for city council probably about 8 years ago against an incumbent city councilor. And during that process, the vote was so close that it required a recount by Multnomah County. And the end result of that was that she lost the election by 4 votes. And so the difference was is that 5 people, chose to vote a certain way, or 4 people. So every single vote counts in local politics. And don't be fooled that your vote doesn't count, because it does. So as far as human trafficking goes, Larry Morgan was the one that brought this to my attention originally, and the fact that January is Human Trafficking Awareness Month. And so given that, we started researching the issue and working with Multnomah County. We have a pretty strong relationship with Multnomah County, who has a little bit more history in this than I do as mayor. But we are planning on having a resolution before the city council on January 26th to talk about the human trafficking issue. It's a borderless crime. It's probably one of the crimes that's increasing the most across the country. We know, looking at statistics, that 80% of the victims are women and girls, and 50% are younger than the age of 18. So looking at the statistics and hearing stories of what's going on in the Portland metro area, we decided in Troutdale to step up. And between Larry and I, it's really a leadership issue more than anything. You know, when you look at the businesses that utilize trafficked persons, it's stuff like massage parlors, strip clubs, and stuff like that. Well, Troutdale does not have any strip clubs. We don't have any massage parlors that I'm aware of as mayor. But the fact that we're woven in this fabric with the Portland metro area, and the fact that Larry and I want to be good leaders, we're going to step up and we're going to raise awareness of the issue, in which I know that Troutdale is in a good location traffic-wise with human trafficking, with the I-5 corridor, the Interstate 84 corridor, all the traffic stops we have in Troutdale, or I mean the truck stops, I mean. If you look at the details of where human trafficking occurs, the Portland metro area and Troutdale is a logical place to look. And there's a lot of awareness that has to happen as far as prevention. We can talk about the fact that we do have Multnomah County Sheriff's Office right in our city. We do have the entire Multnomah County Patrol Division within the city of Troutdale. That was a decision we made last year to turn our police force over to Multnomah County. And so literally, every single Multnomah County police street patrol officer comes in and out of Troutdale. So we have good enforcement ability within Troutdale to get a handle on this once we get the council on board in January.
If you just tuned in, this is Democracy in Motion. My name is Lisa, and we're live in the studio with Troutdale Mayor Doug Doust and City Commissioner Larry Morgan. We're going to spend the hour talking about some of the issues that are that they're facing in East County. And I also want to get to a point where we talk a little bit about how citizens can participate with you, because I know in our KBOO listening audience, people care and they want to do something. They don't want to just sit there and listen to it. Larry, I wanted to bring you into this part about the human trafficking, the sex trafficking. One of the issues that I think is difficult to deal with is the role of organized crime and gang violence in terms of human trafficking, sexual trafficking. This stuff is difficult. And I was just curious, like, talk about how you came to this issue and what you want to see come from this resolution and this effort, because like you said, like you're talking about in Troutdale, you guys are weaving together a whole bunch of law enforcement resources. So if you could talk a little bit more about those details and your vision for it.
Yeah, so, you know, spending a lot of time on the south side of Chicago, you become acutely aware and intimately aware, unfortunately, of certain plights and certain issues. And so when I returned to Troutdale and have gotten more involved, you start to pick up on things. And so speaking locally with law enforcement and seeing some of the concerns, that's what made this a bigger issue and a heightened issue. And in Troutdale now, we're seeing kind of an emerging region, a melting pot being more diversified. And so, you know, with as the mayor had mentioned earlier, now we're getting a better handle on it. Now with the enforcement side on police, we're able to go after some of these pervasive effects of this. And that's why this is important, and that's why it's important that we kind of galvanize the community around this. And it's not hopeless. It's not a dead end. There's a lot of opportunities here for us to work as a community, educate the public, and really come together. And that's why when I ran, I said this is an opportunity to empower citizens in Troutdale to take a stand on this.
What can citizens themselves do? What can we do?
Well, one thing that we're seeing now kind of reemerges a community policing, a lot more re-engagement in neighborhood watch. There's some things that the legislature can do to kind of help local communities get a better handle on this. But in cities that in many ways are interdependent on one another, working together is crucial. Faith-based initiatives, nonprofits, local charities, you know, the Catholic Association and other, the Urban League, they're becoming more involved on this because you have, you know, a population as an African American that is disproportionately affected by this particular plight. And it's got to stop, but it's going to take all of us to come together to end this.
All right. Can I just follow up really quickly? We do have a caller, but can I follow up really quickly and say, how is it that the African American community is disproportionately affected?
Well, in the metro region specifically, the PSU study showed about 469 youth involved, average age being 15, the youngest being an 8-year-old. Overwhelmingly, and as the mayor had said, but in Portland, 96% of them are female, identify as female. 40% are Caucasian, 27% are African American. Yet, inside of that, you have an issue where the minority population of African Americans in Multnomah County and in Oregon is 5% and 2% respectively. So, but yet they equate to, in this case, almost 30% of the overall people engaged and affected.
Oh, wow. I think we have a caller. Is that, caller, you're on the air.
Hi. Well, I even though I'm thrilled to be on the air this quickly, I was sort of expecting to be able to formulate my question with after you on the air longer.
Caller, I have anyway, to also I, tell I, you, I, caller, I, caller, my, caller, my, your phone is breaking up. Could you speak
a little
more clearly?
I forgot to take off speaker.
Okay. Thank you.
So, anyway, in general, it seems to me that this issue, which I think is a real and significant issue, is part of a generally conservative political formation. the Multnomah County Commissioner, Diane McKeel, that was associated with it. I went to see some movie, and the various policemen that have been attached to the subject, the whole idea that there's, you know, some massive white slavery operation operating on the I-5 corridor, I think is a bit overblown.
Okay, sir, that's actually not what we're saying. So just to be crystal clear about that, we just heard a breakdown that came from researchers at Portland State University that actually showed the opposite of what you're saying. So
there is some large, you know, white slavery operation, you know, going on the racial aspect is in various iterations. Sometimes they make a point about that, and often it's people of various colors. But the whole idea that there's some it generally seems to be, you know, girls shouldn't run away from home. They should stay in all these, you know, it's sort of a pro-family initiative.
I hear you saying, caller, that you feel that this is like a conservative political agenda. That's what I hear you saying.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks for calling.
I want to
kick that back to you guys. Yeah. There's a lot of controversial aspects of our communities that are trying to deal with sex trafficking and human trafficking. So I'd love to hear what you have to say about that.
Well, you know, and that's the issue is I think in Multnomah County and even in the region, you know, the most important thing is to be able to talk and address these issues. My concern is to not, as the mayor had mentioned, not skirt away from issues that are difficult to talk about or difficult to understand. Because I think through diving deep and working with one another, we're in an opportunity to learn. And most of my information, about 99.9% of it, comes from the law enforcement community that's saying, we need help. And that's why, as the mayor mentioned, leadership on this issue. Now, for the first time in our region's history, there is talk about having a branch off of the MGAT, which is the East Multnomah County Gang Enforcement Team, to have a human trafficking division, because most of their effort now is being spent not on drugs or not on some domestic violence issues, but solely on human trafficking. So this has now become pervasive. It's now become a crisis as it relates to law enforcement. And law enforcement is reaching out to certain leaders and regional partners and saying, help us. We can work together and we can solve this. So I understand some of the on the surface skepticism of this policy, of it being, I think he had used the word white slavery, or even a vast conspiracy. But this is really about people that in some regards had a breakdown in the family, some regards were trying to venture out and find a better life, and somehow, by sometimes no fault of their own, stumbled, and we're trying to help them.
You know, with this particular issue too, I mean, when I know that on KBOO Community Radio, we're all about police accountability. I see on these issues of organized crime and what the gang enforcement teams do, that law enforcement repeatedly tries to come back to the communities and say, please help us do this. And there's a real barrier. It's frustrating for a lot of people. And individual law enforcement people, whether it's a police officer or, as you were talking about, the sheriffs, Multnomah County sheriffs, individual people actually do a lot that you don't read about in the newspaper, because you have to get below the surface in communities where people are not safe, basically. And when we're talking about the gang enforcement team, it's very controversial. We don't have like a witness protection program in Multnomah County for people who, like, law enforcement's begging people to say, you know, who did this to you? Who did the shooting? Who did whatever? But people aren't in a safe place to let them know. So it's very controversial. It's very difficult. Can you talk a little bit about all the law enforcement jurisdictions, I think, that are maybe participating with you? Because, again, also on KBOO, we worry about secret government and the FBI, but our local FBI, actually, I was telling you earlier, I did the FBI media field day a couple years ago, and they said, actually, child pornography is their number one priority in the state of Oregon, and that a big issue they had was trying to basically apprehend people that were trading in or creating child pornography, and their use of force in those situations was something that they were trying to deal with, because they would try to contact or knock on someone's door and they would literally kill themselves before they could get through. So it's like, these are big conceptual waters. These are huge issues that go back really deep. And this is where, you know, people cooperating with law enforcement, that really happens. So talk a little bit more. Can you talk a little bit more about just the coalition of law enforcement that you're weaving together and how you hope to cooperate with them to make a difference in the lives of young people? That's really what I hear you saying, trying to make a difference in the lives of young people.
Well, to answer the question of the caller, you know, why we're getting involved first, this is something that violates the most basic human rights. And, you know, victims are, they're shred of their personal freedom. So to me, it's not even a political issue. To me, it's a personal issue, and I'm sure it is with Larry too. I've raised four girls, and I can't imagine their personal rights being taken away by anybody or forcing them to do anything. So this is not just a political police issue to me. It's a personal issue that I took an interest in, and with the research that I've been doing, I know that it's a real problem. It's not made up by any particular group. It's a real problem that has some statistics and data behind it to prove it. So moving into the question is, you know, a lot of the problem is reporting. The reporting is not being done, obviously, by the victims. The traffickers use techniques to keep their victims enslaved. And so they're severely limited for self-reporting. There's basically no self-reporting of people that get involved. And so you have to rely on the public. You have to rely on awareness of a lot of people, of business owners, of the police. You know, that's where the awareness and where the most of the reporting will come from. And so how do you do that? You know, you try and put in place a more robust reporting system or the ability to report what you've seen so that people can take action. And so the police that would be involved, obviously, I've mentioned before, we have Multnomah County Sheriff's Office in Troutdale, and they cover all of Multnomah County. It's not just Troutdale.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the people that we have started to work with, obviously, is Multnomah County. A typical small city doesn't focus on providing services for human trafficking, right? We focus on water, getting people good, clean water, police. We focus on fire, you know, if people's houses are on fire, streets and stuff like that. That's what a typical small city would focus on. Human trafficking is a much broader issue than Troutdale, but Larry and I want to get involved, like I said before, from a leadership perspective and from a personal perspective. To both of us, this is important enough that we want to raise the awareness.
All right. If you just tuned in, my name is Lisa Loving. This show is called Democracy in Motion. It's a show about electoral politics where we try to bring elected officials on the air. We are live in Studio 2 with Troutdale Mayor Doug Doust and City Commissioner Larry Morgan. We've had a few people calling in, and we're going to go back to the phone lines. We have Bea on the phone. Bea, what are you thinking about today?
Hi, my name's Bea, and my family was destroyed by human trafficking. There's something that I'm listening to with these people is that they're very vague about massage parlors or strip clubs or things that are real out in the open. Most of these operations take place in apartments, in private homes, in apartments. I think community awareness is important and, take steps for non-participation. These people wouldn't have business if the local people weren't going and giving them the business, which is really the point of this. You know, my husband was doing a lot of that, apparently, and I had to be tested for HIV for a year, and luckily you know, I'm all right. But, you know, it's a horrifying thing that these kids and girls and women, they don't have any choices. So, you know, you can't service people, give them services if they can't escape. And if you continue to enable the businesses by being ignorant, if you look on the back pages, Craigslist, anything like that, you'll see these girls. And you call up and you can just visit any apartment, you know, in your city, Tulane, I'm sure, or wherever you are, they're there. So, you know, let's be honest about how these people are being moved and where they are. They're not out in the open with, you know, neon lights. The other thing is that if it was legalized in some way, much like marijuana, then, you know, the drug dealers, they go away, you know? It's a difficult thing. There's a lot of issues with this, but ultimately, the hell that my family has been put through has been awful, indescribable. And you gotta be aware of what's going on in your neighborhoods. You see people, men, nicely dressed, professional men coming in and out of your building all day. You might want to take a look at that because those are customers. Things like that. Be aware. There needs to be education in the public about how this really happened and some sort of conversation and dialogue about some way to legalize it to keep these young girls from disappearing off the streets. People are taken and you don't hear from them, and it's really scary. So that's all I got to say.
B, can I just ask you one thing? So what I hear you saying is, on the family level, you know, we're talking with these elected officials and they're talking about law enforcement. What I hear you saying is look in your family and look in your neighborhood and pay attention to what's going on and act on it. That's what I hear you saying. Am I hearing you right?
Absolutely. And people don't know. And I didn't have any idea, and I feel stupid now that I didn't know. But really, you know, it was just an accident where my kid accidentally brought something up on the computer. You know, they're better. It's crazy how they are. So I saw something that I never would have seen if she wasn't playing with the computer, and I followed the trail, and oh my gosh. So yeah, it's horrifying, and you got to have education, because I didn't know, and now I know an awful lot of things that, you know, it's unfortunate, but you know, it's important that there's some education, that people know how this really happened, and that it's not single guys going, it's your husband's and boyfriends who, you know, work in tech, who take off to lunch for an hour, you know?
All right. All right, B. You know, Larry wanted to talk with you for a second. What do you think, Larry?
Well,
thank you for calling.
I just wanted to say thank you for the bravery, and thank you for the honesty. Because the issue that I've encountered is, it's not an issue, it doesn't exist, it's not real. But you've real clearly and real tangibly humanized this issue, I think, not only for the viewership here, but for the people at home. And I just thank you for the courage, because you and us and we are all in this together.
All right.
Well, you know, my family, my girls are growing up without a dad now. And I'll tell you that these people that are in this industry, the women, they need help, but you're not going to be able to give it to them unless you, yeah, start some kind of groundwork with the community. I agree. So thank you.
Thank you, B.
And this is Democracy in Motion. You're listening to KBOO Portland. I'm Lisa Loving. We're here live in the studio with the mayor of Troutdale. His name is Doug. And city commissioner, his name is Larry. You know what, B? I have to tell you, I've been working on genealogy in my family for the past few years, and I discovered last year that there were two women in my family who were sexually trafficked as teenagers by their husbands. And it blew my mind. And you can't unlearn that. And it brings back to what you're saying is, know what's going on in your family, whether you're a parent or a wife or a husband or what have you. And I believe we have another caller. Let's go back. Let's go back to the phone line. We've got Ray on the phone. Ray, what do you think?
Hi. Well, I'd like to provide a little history. I'm kind of vague on some of the details because it was back in the 90s. I was a remodeler, and I remodeled a house in Troutdale, and the guy turned the a house into a duplex. It was pretty big, and the guy that bought it was telling me about who lived there before, and It was a guy, it was sort of like Fagin, you know, and Oliver Twist. He had a whole bunch of children, you know, teenagers, and they were all prostitutes. And it was kind of notorious, too. He said that people knew about it, and they tried to do something about it, but nobody would, you know, blow the whistle on them or anything. They couldn't get the kids, the people who were, you know, prostituted there to say anything. And they had some sort of loyalty, he said. And so eventually nothing happened to them and they just moved away. And when I remodeled the house, it was just divided into a bunch of, like, warrens, you know, little bitty rooms and everything. And I think it was kind of notorious. It's probably, you know, it was in the paper, some things about it, I heard, but I don't know if you could still find it or not, but it was right there in Troutdale in a house.
Thanks a lot for calling, Ray. You know, this is going to sound horrible, but that's also the plot of a Gus Van Sant movie called My Own Private Idaho, right? I mean, it's like these things. I was one of those people that was really skeptical a few years ago because some of the figures, the statistics you would see like 5 years ago on this issue on the national level, the figures didn't hold up. But now you have more academic sources like Portland State University that are doing more research into this issue. And this issue we're talking right now about human trafficking, sexual trafficking here in Multnomah County. Famously, the Portland Police Department for years only had one vice officer. Was it Mr. Justice? Something like that. And he had to deal with all this stuff, but he could never get any traction to actually try to get someone to dig in and try to help these, especially kids. You know, Portland, we're famous for how many street kids we have. And I've heard people from the business communities here in downtown Portland complain about, why do you put up with all these kids in Pioneer Square? But where do they come from? I mean, a lot of these kids are thrown away kids coming from the suburbs to the city because there's just theoretically more money and resources here. But it is about our kids. It's about, what are we doing with our kids? Sometimes that's what I really think. And also, our families, are we paying attention to who's doing what? And we do have another caller. Let's go back to the phone lines. We have Edie. Is it you, Edie? What's going on?
September 9th, 1993, my 2.5-year-old daughter and my 7.5-year-old son were kidnapped from the hospital where I was in labor. And the homicide detective, Kirk Anderson of the Portland Police Bureau, said that your car and your children were stolen. Your car was stolen, your children were kidnapped, to be sold into prostitution for drug money. Tamika will do anything for a fix. And I still have my 29-year-old son who doesn't forgive me for something that happened beyond my ability to control or prevent. And my church, where I've been a very devout, dedicated servant for over 11 and a half years, refused to allow me to be a member because they didn't want to believe that there's been any kidnapping except for Chiron, because that's the only one that got lots of publicity. And I'm imagining it's because people don't want to have empathy and compassion. I'm imagining it's because people don't want to think and have to change the way they act and be responsible. I'm imagining that what we really need to do is listen to the truth that you're saying, gather, document, publish the facts better, and stand in solidarity on all sides where there needs to be healing.
All right.
We've got Adorned in Grace, and they don't even have enough money to have but just a few little girls who have been stolen.
Okay. All right, Edie. Thanks a lot for calling. And Larry wanted to follow up on
that.
Yeah,
it goes back to what I said before. And, you know, I think it's the Maxwell quote, you know, that says, what matters in life is not what we intend, but what we do. And it's not them and those and it's us and we. And it's on us to help combat a lot of these issues. It's not just human trafficking or drugs or prostitution, because in many ways, most law enforcement people will tell you, or somebody who's been affected by this, they're interconnected. But, you know,
and family.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, we are, I think, woven together in a fabric that depends on one another to work through these issues. Law enforcement, faith-based communities, education, victim services, health and human services. I mean, all these things are important. And we have to start working together, or I think we'll all go down together.
All right. And Doug, you were going to say something.
Well, we may be the only city in the state of Oregon that's raising this as an issue. I don't know. We may be. There may be other cities, but I haven't heard. So, you know, it's going to take some education of everybody. And if we start in Troutdale by raising this issue, maybe our neighbors to the south across the street in Gresham, the fourth largest city in Oregon, with a lot of apartment buildings, maybe they might pay attention, you know, to what we're doing in Troutdale. Maybe Charlie Hales and his crew in Portland, maybe they may pay attention to the resolution that we're going to pass in Troutdale to raise awareness. You know, so we're just doing our share to help educate people, because that's what I'm hearing from a lot of the callers is, their neighbors are not educated enough, or they're afraid to get involved, or they just don't know what's going on. And that's what needs to happen, is more education.
And I want to just say that there was a headline in the Associated Press this morning, 12 women forced into prostitution freed near Seattle, 14 arrested. Police in the Seattle area said Thursday they freed a dozen women who were forced into prostitution, arrested 14 people, and shut down two websites this week as part of a sex trafficking investigation. King County Sheriff John Urquhart said most of or all of the exploited women had been brought to the United States from South Korea, where some had been forced into bondage to pay off debts their families owed to criminal organizations. That's just a headline from Seattle. I've done a bit of coverage on this issue in Seattle, and it was really a group of Roman Catholic nuns, like I want to say 10 years ago, who got together to start digging into what was happening. And they don't only look at sex trafficking. They also look at women who, especially from different parts of Asia, especially China, who end up in huge debt to come to the United States and work in nail parlors. Nail parlors are another major platform for human trafficking in the United States. This issue happens all over the world, of course. Our region is so small, though. We're more face-to-face. We're closer together, and it seems like it can be more shocking for us. It also seems like maybe we could take more ownership of it and make more of a difference. So you are listening to KBOO Portland right now. I'm Lisa Loving. This is A Democracy in Motion. We're live in Studio 2 with Troutdale Mayor Doug Doust and City Commissioner Larry Morgan. We're talking about City of Troutdale is pulling together a big resolution in a week or two against looking at how to really address trafficking in humans, human trafficking, sexual trafficking in Troutdale. Troutdale, again, as we're saying, so many more people who, Portland being one of the biggest cities for people to move to in the United States, so many Portlanders, longtime Portlanders, are being sort of moved out, pushed out to East County. Not that we don't love you in Troutdale, okay? We love you guys.
Thank you.
But, you know, we you guys must be seeing incredible growth in your city as well. And we do have another caller. Let's take the other caller, and then we'll come back. We'll come back and talk about some of these other Troutdale issues. Hey, Linda, what's on your mind today?
Well, I wanted to tell us, I've been aware of the sex trafficking, especially of underage women, for a while here. And I've done some shows on it in the past as a programmer at KBOO. So recently, over the Christmas holidays, I was in the Lloyd Center area at the Dollar Tree store. And a young woman, really very beautiful young woman, like kind of stunning, was in line ahead of me, got to the thing ahead of me. She had to have been not more than 14 or 15, and she was wearing a lace cutout dress with no underwear under it. And it was obvious that there was no underwear under it, and it barely covered the main parts. And she was really nervous, and she was trying to use a debit card, and it didn't go. And she was African American, and the clerk was African American, and the And the clerk looked at her, and she was being really helpful with the card. The clerk was, but she says, does your mom know you're out in that dress? And it reminded me of a good friend of mine who would have said the same thing to her. She would have taken her aside and said, honey, does your mom know you're out in that dress? At that point, a woman I hadn't noticed who was sort of lurking in the background, a sort of maybe 40-year-old white woman, came nearer, and the girl was going, I put the right numbers in. I know I did. I did what he said. And she turned and looked at the woman, and that woman looked at her and gave her a little nod. But she was sort of like both pretending to not be with the girl and clearly not her mom by the way they interacted. And as I walked away, I thought, damn, you know, I know a friend who got in jail for a man paying her off with a stolen credit card, and the numbers didn't work. And it's also a way that you get young prostitutes that you've taken in, you get them to do something illegal, and then you tell them that you'll turn them in.
Blackmail them.
And I walked away that day regretting that I didn't in some way intervene, and yet I'm not clear how I could have intervened. I could have joined the clerk in the, yeah, you know, really, you shouldn't be out in this dress. Where is your mom? Can we talk to your mom, or is your dad here with you? You know, maybe I could have done something to push it more. It might have just gotten her in trouble. I don't know, but I feel certain that that was a girl who was being trafficked, whether by a friend, a neighbor, or a stranger type situation. And I do think she was being set up to use a false card.
Wow, Linda. Thanks for...
So I just wanted to tell that story and say, keep your eyes open and let's figure out ways we can intervene. Be willing to be embarrassed or to embarrass the child. Actually, I didn't want to embarrass her more, is the truth. You know what I mean? Because
yeah.
She was now the focus and she was kind of shaking. And
wow. Linda, thanks for calling with that story. That was Linda Olson Osterlund. Her show, A Closer Look, is an investigative reporting show on these airwaves. So I always appreciate when Linda calls with an informed opinion about something. Larry, were you going to say
something?
Yeah,
and I was just going to, I think that we've heard a lot of real compelling stories about our friends and neighbors and loved ones. And as the mayor said, we are doing a resolution, but that's not all we're doing. I believe at 6 p.m. on Tuesday the 26th, there's going to be a work session put on by the Multnomah County Sheriff's Office, part of the gang enforcement team, and a few other people that are with the district attorney's office, etc., showing some of the problems, showing what we're working on, and showing ways citizens of all stripes, colors, backgrounds, and diversity levels can become involved and be part of the solution. This is a very, very complex issue with how do you help somebody and how do you not hurt them or how do you not get them in trouble and how do you help them find a better way, find a better path or find a different life. We're all going to execute that and find some best practices and some ways we can help our elected officials. We can help our clergy or our professors or maybe people that are, you know, at the K-12 level, because this in many regards is people that are in middle school, elementary school, or high school. And so that's where community members, I would hope, from all across the metro region would come to Troutdale, 6 p.m. Tuesday, the 26th of January, the council chambers, and let's pack the room, let's open our hearts, and let's be part of the solution.
All right. And you are listening to KBOO Portland. This show is Democracy in Motion. We're live in Studio 2 with Troutdale Mayor Doug Doust and City Commissioner Larry Morgan. We're talking about their big issue coming up later this month to look at human trafficking, sexual trafficking in Troutdale. We have another caller. Let's go back to the phone lines. We have Larry on the phone. Larry, what's going on with you today?
Good morning. How are you doing, first of all?
Good. We're doing great.
Can you hear me?
Yep. I can hear you great.
Good. I'm just got a comment real quick, and I think it's very important that if you're going to invite people, you need to go back and invite the people who created this problem, whether it's drug users or the prostitutes or the pimps. I think they should be brought to the table. They can answer some questions. I think it's, we're kind of forgetting about certain people we need to invite.
How do we do that, Larry? How do we invite those people in to the city council chambers?
It's very simple, man. I mean, if you're not doing those negative behaviors anymore, you should be held accountable for all the things you've done. We have to go back and clean up what we messed up. And that's my own opinion. And second of all, I just want to comment on to Mr. Morgan. I think he's doing a very good job. First African-American man in Troutdale. I think that he's my hero. And you know, you're my shero. So I get my favorite two people together, one my hero and my shero. But the thing is bigger than all of us, I think, is you touch on some very interesting subjects. It's like this, and I think it's nice that Mr. Larry's in the front line. But it's, you know how it goes before. It's like if you're a drug dealer and you got to bust a drug house, you got 100 people waiting for you at the beginning of the event. But when once you get to the door and you knock on the door, those 100 people, there's only like 2 or 3 people there, and we have to quit. You know, we have to quit settling. And I just want to make sure that everybody knows that it's a hard task. But thank God, there's someone at the helm who's going to take care of the task.
All right.
And thanks again. I appreciate you. Again, you're my shero, and Mr. Morgan is my hero.
All right, Larry put a really hot bubbling pot on the table. Like, how do you dig down to bring in the people who are most affected by it? What were you going to say, Doug?
Well, I was going to address one of the issues that was brought up is who do you call? You know, if you see something that looks suspicious. And, you know, we've been approached by a lot of our citizens that are afraid to dial 911 because they think it's not important enough, or they don't feel like they want to take the police's time to check into something. Well, in talking with our police, I'll tell you something different is you can dial 911 if you see some suspicious activity, and the police will come and show up and see what's going on. So I think there's a bit of hesitancy for, I would say, most people to dial 911, but that is definitely a tool that can be used if you see something that just does not look right in this arena.
Because actually, going back to what Linda said, that is the big question. You're there in the moment. You're looking at a human being. You're seeing that human being in jeopardy, literally, right in front of you. You're not sure what to do. You don't want to make it worse for her. So that is totally an issue. And I think about my own family, two women I had no idea in my whole life that this had happened to them, people that are very close personal relatives of mine. And who did what? And who didn't do anything in the family? Did they know what was going on? And in one of those cases, it had to do with a drug dealer, right? So some of these issues, they boil down to some of they are linked. There's a lot of linkages, and it is complicated. And Larry is right, who called again just now and said, how do you tap also, not just like the people that are most affected by it or have been in the past, but some of these folks who know a lot about how it works, and how do you get them to the table to share what they know, even if they're not in that business anymore, or maybe they've served time and come out and entered their community, because sometimes those folks are in danger too. So trying to figure out how to bring people together, and this is ancient, right? This is an ancient issue. We're dealing with it in the digital age, and watching as B talked about, this shows up on websites, like the website. So it seems like it should be possible to get a handle on it. So, you know, how do we use our modern technology, again, to improve our families' lives and to make our communities safer?
And, you know, and you bring up a great point, and I think the mayor said it earlier, but, you know, the city of Troutdale now contracts services with Multnomah County. Multnomah County, for better or for worse, all its warts and all, has more sophisticated, innovative technologies to be able to go after some of these things. So as a citizen and as an elected official, police service is not having a badge and a gun and hopefully a heart. It's multifaceted, it's hyperly complex, and more importantly, it's sophisticated, just like crime. And if you can't find a way to go after with all avenues, all metrics, then you don't really have, you know, crime service, you just have a crime shell. And policing now is taking on a new approach, it's taking on a new, in many parts of the country, a worse approach. And I think we can hear, solve the issues by working together instead of against one another.
All right. And Doug, were you going to add something?
Well, I just want to clarify what we're going to try and accomplish on Tuesday the 26th.
All right.
We're going to have the work session that Larry mentioned first at 6 o'clock for an hour. And then we go into a regular city council meeting at 7 p.m. where we'll take action on what we heard in the previous hour from the public. So what we're going to try and accomplish Tuesday is first of all, number one, raise awareness about the signs of human trafficking. We're going to talk about reporting or promote reporting mechanisms. We're going to talk about encouraging support for the survivors. You know, we talk about trying to find out what's going on, but if we get survivors that we can help afterwards, once they get out, that's just as important as trying to prevent it up front, mm-hmm. working with churches and whoever else can help. The education and advocacy is another thing we're going to talk about, and just increasing our visibility in the fact that Troutdale's willing to coordinate with everybody else. That's the flag we're going to raise on the 26th, and that's what we're going to try and accomplish.
You know, it's interesting, over all the years that I've been here and I've been covering as a journalist this community, there have been different organizations that have arisen to help women who are in prostitution, the Council for Prostitution Alternatives, you know, many of these, and they're just deep grassroots, and every single one of them fails. They can never get any support from anyone. I've watched it, at least three or four iterations of groups that literally emerge to try to help sex workers. And I feel like that's a big part of it. So many people who are in, there are some people who are sex workers who love it, and they're empowered, and they keep the money, and they're not connected to someone who controls them. In a lot of cases, that's not happening. In a lot of cases, people are sort of trapped into sex work that started when they were young. And so trying to interrupt that cycle or anything, I wish we could also put some resources to where people who are 30 years old now, who are prostitutes or what have you, who ended up getting, you know, roped into that when they were teenagers. I wish that we could put the whole thing together. That would be really revolutionary, in my opinion.
And the mayor and I, last spring, I believe, met with Diane McKeel, who was mentioned earlier, and talked with the county about going out for a federal grant with the FBI and Department of Justice and all that, to look at not only victim services, but ways to really strengthen the safety net and allow for people for that safe transition. Right. So the work is being done. We just need more people rowing with us.
All right.
I know that Deborah Cafori, the Multnomah County Chair, is pleased that we are here talking on KBOO Radio today about the subject that's very dear to her heart also.
It's a heartbreaking subject that it's easy to try to want to not deal with. We have a full slate of callers. Let's try to rip through all those callers. And we have Jack on the phone. Jack, what do you think?
Yeah, I have a question for your guests. Has in relationship to the woman who called from a victim, the victim or victim from a family who talked about her family had been ripped apart by this tragedy, saying, "Don't, you know, the strip clubs, etc., are certainly a place to look, but so much of what's going on is going on in private homes, in apartments, in rented living facilities." Now, if I may be wrong about this, but aren't landlords responsible, at least to some degree, to be aware of what's going on in the properties that they rent? And couldn't approaching investigating these situations through the landlords, approaching through the landlords and holding them up to fulfill their responsibility that their tenants
are following the law.
Are legal.
Thanks for calling, Jack. We've got a full slate of callers, so I'm going to grab that question, cut you loose. Next time, please call sooner in the hour. We'd love to hear more from you. We have two more callers to get to, but that's a fascinating question. Are you guys reaching out to landlords to educate them? Here we're finding in Portland that more and more landlords are absentee landlords. TIAA CREF actually just set a record for buying a gigantic rental apartment building here in Portland. So I'm not sure when it comes to the absentee landlord thing, but what do you think about his take on that?
Well, I mean, he's correct. The landlords are responsible for their units. But even if the landlords are absentee, if a complaint is raised to the police, then the police will respond and see what's happening. So it doesn't matter if the landlord is absentee. If a complaint's raised, it'll be responded to.
All right.
Real quick, to Jack's question, that's great. I think that, you know, working with law enforcement to ask what they need for enforcement on the first end for accountability, and then changing codes to reflect renters' rights to ensure that landlords have to be in compliance with those things to make sure that we can actually tangibly take care of those issues.
Right. And I have to also say this other thing in regards to what Jack and B said, and they're talking about, you know, when you're looking at the strip clubs, you're looking at stuff like that. That's the obvious thing. I know a mom, a couple of moms here in inner Northeast Portland that are trying to draw attention to the fact that there are young people dancing in the strip clubs, and that a lot more prostitution has been happening in these strip clubs with young people, underage people, than a lot of people realize. And that comes from moms whose kids were involved. And in my social network, and I just have to put that on the table, we have a couple more callers. Let's try to get them on the air. Joan, is that you? Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
I lived in Troutdale for a couple years, and I wouldn't have thought that there was any sex trafficking going on. And the main thing I have to say is that I truly think that there should be a law, and that if you know or think that a child is being abused, that you absolutely must report it.
Okay.
That's what I had to say.
Rock on, Joan. And I know that's true, mandatory reporting in a variety of areas, but I don't think citizens necessarily are required. But anyone that works in any capacity for a school at all, even the janitor or the person that answers the phones, I think that's a mandated reporter. Maybe law enforcement's the same.
For human trafficking as well as domestic violence. But state of California imposed things even in the emergency rooms.
Right, in the hospital.
And there's other ways that you can actually have laws that reflect what you need to have done.
Yeah, so that's an interesting one. Let's go back. I think we have one more caller. We've got Jennifer on the phone. Jennifer, what's going on with you today?
Okay, so none of my comments reflect on Troutdale police, because I've never lived in Troutdale and I've never had any experience with Troutdale police, so I really don't know what type of police system you have going on there. I've lived in Portland for many years, and I can attest to how corrupt Portland police are, and I believe the issue with sex trafficking has to do with the police. I mean, the police don't do their job. I've called Portland police for a number of crimes. They've never helped me. And I see crimes, and I want to report them, but I know the police will not help. I call the police a lot because I see crimes a lot. A few weeks ago, I saw, I witnessed child abuse. It wasn't sex trafficking. It was abuse of a child. And I called DHS, and I called the police. And the police were completely rude. They did not care. And DHS is terrible. DHS is, one of the worst child care systems in the country.
All right, Jennifer, I'm going to grab you right there. We've got 3 minutes to go. You put the DHS issue on the table. The Oregon DHS just got massively slapped for not doing its job in relation to a foster care facility in Northeast Portland. What I hear Jennifer saying is, I'm not sure if I trust those institutions. Mm-hmm. What can you, we've got 3 minutes left. For people who feel like if they call the police, there might be unintended consequences or something like that. In Troutdale now, we already covered the fact that you are dealing with Multnomah County sheriffs, but do you feel that sense of sometimes people are afraid of the police and that's why they don't want to call them? And do you have a sense of how to overcome that? Just real quickly. Sorry to put that in a real quickly slot.
Well, we know much of this activity is hidden from public scrutiny, or it's ignored by the public, you know, so it's hard to get it out in the open, and that's part of what we're doing. As far as Troutdale goes, we have a freshly written contract with the Multnomah County Sheriff Department, and this is all of Multnomah County sheriffs, where if we want them as a city council to focus on human trafficking, we can request that because of the contract we have with them. And so it may take city councils to put the pressure on police a little bit more, to pay more attention. And I think that may be one of the things that come out of this Troutdale effort.
All right. So we literally have one minute left. What's the most important thing for people to know, and how did they get involved?
I was just going to say, you know, the way things are, I understand why people are skeptical of law enforcement. But this answer, this resolution will not be found in human trafficking, just in law enforcement. It's going to be neighborhoods and people. And I'll just leave with a quote, which is why I ran, which is, never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has.
All right. We're going to leave it there. Thank you so much, Troutdale Mayor Doug Doust and City Commissioner Larry Morgan. It's wonderful to have you here, and I hope you won't be strangers. Listeners, if you want to find out more about Troutdale, go to ci.troutdale.org.us, and stay tuned. Thanks for listening.
The KBOO Community Radio Artist in Residence program assists artists working creatively with sound. Every year, one artist or one collaborative group of artists will be awarded 20 hours of studio recording and production time with a KBOO mixologist in order to create a piece of sound art that will be publicly presented at the end of the residency. The goals of the KBOO Artist Support Program are to support and invest in individuals who are pushing themselves artistically using sound, whose work will impact the cultural landscape of Portland, and to bring those artists into the dynamic KBOO community of local, national, and international artists and activists. Applications for the 2016 KBOO Artist in Residence are due February 12th at 5 p.m. More information and application materials are at kboo.fm/AIR2016.